All right, we'll get going here this morning. Let's pray and then we will get rolling with our new series. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the fellowship that we have here in this body. I pray that you would bless those of us who are present and those who are unable to be here. Even in this time, we think of the kids downstairs, back in the nursery wing as well. I pray that you would bless their time as they are instructed in your word and in your character as well. I pray that your love would be a distinctive trait of our time together. And as we turn our attention to this idea of life calling, I pray that you would lead and guide us, and that you would give us insight and clarity, that we would find wisdom and joy in our conversations and our growing and learning together. So we ask that you would be our teacher, O Jesus, O Holy Spirit, that you would lead and guide us. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this is our new series for the foreseeable future with Sunday School. This is a course, as you might have gathered, what is Indiana Wesleyan University? Like, I thought I walked into the Zion Church in Millersville today. Indiana Wesleyan University offers a course called Introduction to Life Calling, and it is offered to their incoming freshmen. It's part of a requirement for their freshman students. Indiana Wesleyan University also partners with high schools to bring this class into the high school level. And Anne Marie and myself have had the privilege of meeting the brains behind this course, which, yes, ultimately is God, but the idea of being called. But the people who created this course, particularly two gentlemen, Anne Marie and I got to meet them and were, quote-unquote, trained by them, so we are your experts. If you need to know your calling, we will tell you. No, I'm just kidding. It's not how it works. But we had the privilege of meeting these guys multiple times, and they're really sharp. And they've created this course because what they are finding, there's the one guy in particular, his name is Dr. Bill Millard. He is finding that people are getting to the end of their lives and they're looking back and they are filled with regret because they feel as though they failed to find meaning, purpose, and significance. And his thesis is that every human being was created for meaning, purpose, and significance. Christians, non-Christians, this is universal. People are getting to the end of their lives and being filled with the sense of, I never found these things. So he set out to do some research. Anyway, he figured that the freshman year of college, because he's a college professor, he figured that this would be a good time to start talking about these things. They started talking with freshmen in college, and he realized this is almost a little too late to start talking about these. Not a little too late, but it would be even better to go earlier. So he started talking with high schoolers, right? And high schools, Christian high schools in particular, but even some public high schools. And even now, they're thinking of taking this curriculum down into the elementary grades. And you're going to see why. You might think, okay, how are you going to tell a little kid about their calling? You'd be surprised just how much of this is really, how much of what we believe about ourselves and about God and the world around us. You know, there's like philosophical questions. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? You'd be surprised how many of our answers to that are formed by, they say, the age 12. And it's pretty amazing. That doesn't mean that we are without hope, because except for a couple babies in the room. But it means that we can still learn and grow in these areas. Okay, it may have been a little bit scattered, but just give you some backstory on where this course is coming from. So Anne Marie and I will be kind of tag teaming with this, walking us through this curriculum. And today is just an introduction, so you're not going to get a whole lot in terms of, you're not going to get any tangible things from us. However, starting next week, we hope to have some folders with some packets inside of them that you can use during our sessions here, and then leave them here. And then when you come back the next Sunday, you get it, you know, from your mailbox or whatever, and come to Sunday school. And if you miss it, well, it's still there in your mailbox for the following week when you return. So anyhow, just to give you a heads up on some of that. Anne-Marie, is there anything else I'm forgetting before we dive in? All right, I don't want to say too much more because I want to let us kind of discover some of this together. So for now, turn to just one or two people around you. I'm not going to assign groups. Just a couple of people around you. Megan, you'll have to find some people because soundboards don't talk. And I want you to take a shot in the dark. What is life calling? What is a life calling? Okay? So, you got maybe a minute. Go ahead. Just with a few people around you. What is a life calling?
Got it? I'm saying raising godly children. Quick question, what is life calling? Thank you.
Wherever God leads you.
I thought you were going to give me the answer to this question.
Well, that's easy. You eat like cereal in the morning.
Maybe 15 seconds.
We got.
I think it's just where you're being led, especially by God.
5. Okay, and we're back. We're back. Okay. All right, who has the winner?
Steve.
Steve does, okay. Dad.
We were discussing life calling.
Yes. What did you discuss?
So we were discussing Matt's calling to clean his room so well.
Okay, all right.
I'm just telling him.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add in a broader?
I cynically said, no, I don't want to be funny. Eating life cereal. I just heard a comedian say how audacious it was for a cereal company to name a cereal Life.
There's also a game in Life. So
that's very audacious. Yeah. The name of cereal Life. But anyway, I don't know. I like the word calling.
Okay.
You don't need to pick someone else.
Okay. Who else has a good definition? All right.
Whatever our career is to be God's hands, feet, arms, and legs in this world to represent Him for other people.
So being God's arms, hands, feet, and it's not a career.
It takes place in a career. It takes place wherever you are.
That's pretty good.
Okay, good. Others, anything else that needs to be added? Yeah.
I this might totally be wrong, but I thought of the scene in Chariots of Fire where he says, I run because I feel God's pleasure. He's a runner in the movie. So I'm kind of doing, what you're made to do.
Good. That's Eric Little, the Scotsman.
Is this related? This is a quote that I have a friend that puts it on every email. God's church does not have a mission. God's mission has a church. Hmm. It kind of gets to the purpose.
Yeah.
Somebody said that.
Good.
We said kind of not a matter of what you do in life, but why you're doing it.
Good.
I didn't hear what you have to say.
It's not what you do in life, more so why you're doing what you're doing.
Why rather than that.
Excellent. Very good. Anyone else?
I
not going to tell you if you're right or wrong, but that's good. you guys are very sharp, very observant. Eric Little, by the way, Chariots of Fire, is used later in this course as an illustration of a key component. So you guys are getting onto it here.
So you were.
Okay, so in terms of education, teachers do these kinds of things. We do have a lot of teachers in the room. But just by terms of objectives, and you're gonna notice, of course, that this talks about classes, and this curriculum is very much so is going to be targeting like college students. So some of you might be, well, college was a while ago for me. Some of you might say, I never went to college or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Everything here can be applied. Okay, so just kind of, we might have to filter some of this. All right. But anyhow, we started off right there, exploring the true meaning of life calling. Begin learning in an interactive and experiential environment. Begin identifying values and defining success based on life dreams. Understanding and appreciating reflection and understanding the requirements and expectations for this course. Don't worry about that. Our requirements are not going to be what they are in terms of the normal classroom. Okay, so vacation. When you go on a vacation, I know that it's kind of hard to see. Do you guys recognize some of these places?
Yes.
Okay, what do we have? What do we have down here?
Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
San Francisco.
San Francisco. Up top.
Atlanta, Georgia.
That was a good guess.
Darn.
It's not Mount Vernon, is it?
No, I don't believe so.
Is it the Lee Mansion?
Athens.
I believe it's Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's what it is. And then right here,
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, Times Square.
Nurse Feinstein.
What's that? Sorry.
Castle.
Oh, the actual name. Yeah, sorry. Okay. We have some expertise here. So. Get it right, folks.
We were there.
Okay.
That's right.
So you're going on a vacation, right? Now, when you are preparing for a vacation, is the first question you ask what kind of car you would drive, right? So let's just go down this route for a minute. Give you some choices. You have the Nissan Leaf, okay? In terms of stewardship and the environment, stuff like that. You also have the Ford C-Max, the hybrid, and then for those thrill seekers in the room, we have the Porsche Carrera, okay?
Ford.
That's me.
All right. So what's that?
Ford.
Let's see. How many of you would take the Nissan Leaf, the nice sedan, a little more space, totally electric, okay. How many for the hybrid SUV?
Size.
Nice. It is a Ford, so you know I'm not choosing that, but Ed is the one. And the Porsche, okay? Come on.
Where's the Winnebago?
You want to get there fast, right?
Mom's choosing the Porsche.
Good. Okay. Interesting question. What car are we going to drive to our vacation? And all of those destinations we showed would be. This would work. You could really take any of these cars and get where you need to go in terms of, you know, South Carolina, even Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon. It might be a little longer of a drive, but these cars will get you there. Unless that is you're going to Hawaii. And why does this become a problem?
Because we don't have a boat car.
Okay, because you're going out into the Pacific. I know this is rather silly, but do you realize that this is how we often, this approach, right, is often how we approach life calling. We don't really consider ultimate meaning, significance, purpose. We often don't consider the bigger picture. We just think, okay, what's next? Like, what car am I going to need to take the next steps in my life calling? You know, what job, what career, what major, what decision? Maybe even some things like, you know, whom do I marry? And that kind of stuff. These questions are often lost in terms of our bigger picture, goal, destination. So we often go about this a little bit backwards. And to help us illustrate this, we have a couple graphics here. And there's a lot of stuff on here. Don't get hung up on all of it as we go to the next slide. But we're going to compare two different paths that are that are before us, right, in our lives. Anne-Marie, do you have anything to add at this point before we move on? Okay. So here's the typical, again, college and career, but this applies to all of us, development model. Okay, we start out, and basically people ask you, you know, what are you interested in? You know, what are you good at? Or even things like, you know, what could you do and make a living, you know, off of it? And the real, and as particularly when we're dealing with college students and high school students, the real challenge here is that you're, first of all, you're basing these decisions on interests, but your interests are so limited, right? At that point in your life. And even now, you know, our experience in some interests might be limited, right? And so then we have this pressure. We have pressure in terms of trends, family expectations. I can't tell you how many, I mean, there's a lot of like small businesses represented in the school where I teach. And there's a lot of them who feel this pressure like, well, dad did this, so I guess I have to do that. Or grandpa built this company and my sister doesn't want it, so it's on me to keep it alive. And that might be the furthest thing from you know, maybe what God has really made you for. Anyhow. Then you go through here, and you, as you go through this path, again, this is assuming the college experience, but you know, you choose a college or a career, something along these lines, and then your concerns, right? You kind of have these encounters with concerns and incentives. Concerns basically coming down to sustainability, you know, amount of salary, job availability, job growth. Then you follow this career path, you gain experience, and then your incentives are job security, promotions, higher pay. And really, this whole path is ultimately self-centered. And Dr. Miller, the big research guy behind all this, his main one of his main takeaways in his research is that this path alone leads to uncertainty and discontent. And we basically put all our eggs in this basket. If I could use a more generic term, think perhaps, you know, like American Dream type stuff. Now, the American Dream in and of itself can have a lot of good elements. It depends on who you ask and how people define it. But for some people, the American Dream just includes freedom. You think of people who come from other countries and they're like, I just want to go to bed and know my family is safe. That's my American Dream. But for many Americans, the American Dream is something like this, right? So instead of starting with interests and pressure and really financial sustainability, although those things can be important factors, we want to start with purpose. So Jonathan said not so much the what, but the why. Not so much what do you do Monday through Friday, but why are you there? Why does God have you here today? Right? You know, Eric Little, the Olympic runner. Why did God gift him with the ability to run? He was an incredible athlete. You know, what was that for? He had many other talents too. And the rest of his story is little known, no pun intended. But it's, his name is Eric Little. You guys get it? Okay.
Yeah.
But his, it's not commonly known. The rest of his life is really remarkable. He ended up dying, and I don't want to spoil it, but we'll get there in another session. He ended up dying in a Japanese internment camp in World War II, 5 days before the war ended, or 5 months before the war ended. He was unbelievable. He's a missionary. He left the Olympics, went back to Scotland, left as a missionary. you know, he's a guy who considered his purpose. Neat story. He gave away his gold medal shoes to a poor person in the camp who didn't have shoes. He gave away his track shoes that he ran for his gold medal. He was wearing those shoes. He gave them to someone who didn't have shoes. Anyway, so in this course, we're going to talk about some discovery tools, okay? Things to help us discover purpose, things to help us discover the way that God has uniquely wired and created each one of us, things that help us discover it, like as Mary said, those things that we're made to do, like what has God made you to do? Things that will help us discover these things. This is not an exact science. And we will all need to be reminded of that throughout this journey together. There's not like a formula. There's not a magic equation like you put in your age, your height, you know, the year you were born, a few other factors, how high can you jump? And it's like, oh, well, you were supposed to do this, because then it's like, oh, I missed it. You know, here I am, I missed my life calling. No, that's not the case, right? But we do want to be intentional about these things. Then instead, if you were to be choosing a career and a major, things like that, but you guys can translate this. Like right now, what are the choices? A first year student in college is going to be thinking a lot about major and career. What are choices that you all are facing right now in terms of the direction of your life? And for some of you, it might be.
Aging.
What's that?
Aging.
Aging, okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, like, which ones to pay, which ones not to, that's the decision. That could be, actually.
I think even just what you do each day, like what you fill your day and your margins with.
Yeah.
Raising kids.
Krista and I talk a lot right now, like, what are we going to give our time to? It's kind of similar to what many of you have said. What is valuable that we are going to invest time into it? And what are things that we need to say no to? Right? These are difficult decisions, right? But instead, so take that idea, right? If those are the choices we are facing, instead of just taking those choices and trying to, or those decisions and trying to make them in an environment of pressure and expectations from other people, right? And maybe like your kind of personal best guess, like, well, I like this, I don't like that. Maybe considering the bigger picture, right? And then in this sense, we experience life calling, which brings meaning, significance, hope in career and life, right? It's not the other way around, okay? And I know this is very general, and you're like, well, Timothy, these are great ideas, but these are just ideas. I'm laying out the kind of the abstract ideas, and then we're going to get into more of the concrete as we go. And as opposed to being self-centered, this is Christ-centered. This is a stewardship paradigm, right? So we are, instead of seeing ourselves as here, like those questions of why, you know, where did we come from, why are we here, where are we going, instead of answering those based on a self-centered perspective, like, I'm here to make money, I'm here to do this, I'm here to be satisfied, I'm here to make myself comfortable. Why am I at work Monday morning when this is a really rough day or it's been a rough 10 years? Maybe you're not there for yourself. Maybe you're there for the person in the next room or the person that you're going to bump into at lunch that day, right? Or that customer who's going to walk through the door. And I mean, moms, I mean, people are stay-at-home parents, those possibilities are endless. Why are you, well, those children are, I mean, if everything goes according to typical plans, your children will outlive you. So you are making an investment that is going to go far beyond your very existence on this earth. That goes for all parents. I think raising children is one of the most humbling experiences in the world. Anyhow. Okay. We won't get into the discussion of the aspirational aspect of this. Okay, let's take a look at this verse. Would someone be willing to read this for us today? Who's got it? Read it out loud, I mean. You're like, I am reading. Stop interrupting me. Who's got it? Come on. Don't be shy. I can pick on someone, too. Ed, pick someone.
Mel.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body.
Now you got to fit.
All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Yeah.
King David, Psalm 139, 13, 16.
Very good. Take a moment, and with the people around you, what does this tell us about our life calling? What does this scripture tell us about our life calling and the life calling of others? Go ahead and just take a moment with those around you. Another 30 seconds or so. What ideas did you have in your groups? Or just reflections on the verse?
Just reminding that where God sees us for who we are, because he knew us before we were born, and therefore he knows how things are going to be. Like, he knows us, and though we sometimes still feel like we're trying to hide, or he doesn't see us.
Ah. So some people feel as though God doesn't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I said before we were born, that God had a purpose for us. And what we're doing in our life is following that journey that he has prepared for us. The ultimate part of it, ending part of it, is we don't know. We like to think we know what the end is going to look like and how that's going to impact what we really don't know.
Returning to where they started from with God. So this, reading this, it just made me think of that. It gave me an understanding of the belonging, the total belonging, our lives, even before they were formed, were with him, you know what I mean? So just that kind of Abigail was talking about being known, you know, just that knownness belonging. And seeing others that way then too.
This is a psalm with which I'm very familiar because I use it a lot, and you know, it's one of those, to me, a really well-known and well-read psalm. This morning, I just saw something I've never seen before in the context of what we're talking about. I've always assumed that that last line, all the days obtained for ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. I always have assumed that meant that God knows how long I'm going. But I'm seeing this morning that it means God knows how I'm going to live each day. And it's not maybe primarily how long my life will live, but what those days will include. And it fits in because not knowing anything about life calling, my message today is on contentment. And I didn't have privy to this thing. And it's going to speak very much into what we're talking about today. You know, being content has to do with that, with this. And it even said that on your first slide.
I went to a funeral once and they used that section of the song in context of the dash. Here's your birth date, here's your death date, and then the dash in between is that. And the sermon was that everybody has a dash. Even if you only live 3 seconds, you have a dash. It's what you're doing with those moments that you have in your life. That's what that is talking about. Good. That's what he said.
Anything else to add?
Do you think, when he says all the days are ordained, do we have... Is it like he has a plan for us and it's up to us to discover it and do it, or we can just decline? I'm just wondering. And probably there is no answer.
Yeah, there's no answer, so.
That's
a great question, and it's, of course, it's like we're, I say to my students sometimes, it's like you're, and you come up against certain theological walls where God knows the answer on the other side, but we don't. It's kind of like you just reach over, and you're like, what's that? Like, no, well, maybe? No, I don't know. So it's kind of like we're doing that kind of a thing. but there is something about the greatness of his knowledge in this passage. There is a... I get a sense of, like, reverence from David, just like... You're big, I'm little. That's what I know.
I would go back to Jonathan's comparison. Was it what and why?
I
think we've often been tempted to think that means God knows what we're going to do every day. But I think he knows why we're going to do it. He's the why. He's the who. And I think we diminish God a little bit if all we do is say that he knows whether I'm gonna use a car or walk somewhere today. You know, it's whether I'm living my life to the glory of God. He's ordained me to a purpose, not necessarily the plan that gets to that purpose.
Melanie?
Yes?
If he knows the days that are ordained for us, he knows the ingredients to make us.
Yes.
He knows what to put in us.
Yeah, she said if he knows the days, then he knows the ingredients to basically that we need within us and around us to get through those days that he has ordained. So some of the takeaways I'm hearing from what you were all saying. First, and I'll ask you some questions. Does each person have a purpose?
Yes.
Absolutely. Every human life has purpose, meaning, and significance as far as God is concerned. Yes and amen to that. Now, we should keep in mind, like, just think about some connections to this. There are a lot of people in our world, and odds are there are some of us in this room right now who feel like we don't have much meaning, significance, or purpose in life. And we would be really naive to believe that just because we're in a church that we all have this together and we all understand all of this perfectly. Because we don't. But the first thing is this. Every person has meaning, significance, purpose. The second thing, who knows fully that purpose, meaning, and significance? God. We might know it in part and get glimpses of it, but like David makes it pretty clear, we don't know that fully. And if life calling, right, is basically an orientation of your life towards meaning, purpose, and significance, and God is the only one who understands and knows fully our meaning, purpose, and significance, because he's the one who gave us the ingredients we need, he built us, where should we start this journey? And end this journey? With God. Not in a career. Not in salary. Even not in the things that like make us feel good. Maybe not even the things that other people are telling us are good. We need to go to God. So if I can like give you a nutshell of what this course is about, right now at this moment, it's about learning to hear the voice of God. Because he is our shepherd. And your life calling may take lots of twists and turns. Some unexpected, some expected, some twists and turns that other people are going to look at and say, well, why did you do that, right? Why did you make that choice? That was silly. But that might be exactly where God is calling you, right? I asked Mark the other day, my brother Mark, asked him kind of a big life question. And it was basically a how, you know, in the Psalms, you know, how long, O Lord? I was kind of like, how long, O Mark? And he basically said, he didn't basically, he quote said, as long as God calls you. I was like, thank you very much. That's very helpful. I appreciate it. Go back to being philosophical and theological. Reading and writing whatever books you're currently working on. But that is so true that we are just following his lead, which is going to take us on lots of different paths that might not make sense to us. They might even be paths that we desperately don't want to go down. Right? Okay. Let's keep going here. Next, I think we have the video clip. Yeah, we have the video clip, Megan, so if you could unmute. You could unmute that. All right. Listen carefully to this commercial.
Oh, I finally figured out my name.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah? Ceramics.
I don't know what happened. I guess I got to...
It says click here to play.
What's that?
Did you click here to play?
Did I what?
Well,
no, I'm...
It said click here to play.
Oh. Oh, I'm just going to do this, because sometimes that link doesn't work so well. All right, here we go.
Thank you. Oh, yeah? Ceramics. Nice. I finally figured out my major.
Oh, yeah?
Ceramics.
Nice.
It's not even so much a major. It's more like a life calling.
Like a Zen thing.
Yeah, you know, it's just like it's me and the wheel, you know, and the water and the clay. You know, people really need ceramics badly.
I was in the museum, like, not too long ago. You know what it was filled with?
Mm.
Ceramics.
I'm like a poet with earth.
Right, an earth poet.
An earth poet.
Cool, man.
I want to make plates. I want to make mugs.
Yeah, man, you should make those mugs. Make those mugs, man. Do it.
Oh, you know what? I will.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, bonjour.
Grazie. Thank you. Thank you.
You can always mine those ceramics.
Yeah.
The Range Rover by Land Rover.
All right.
Is that an actual commercial?
Yeah, it's an actual commercial, yeah. Okay. So what did you hear from those two guys as they were hiking? What are they saying about life calling in terms of life calling?
It's like what he was really into. Like,
okay.
He just like caught his fancy. He was like really.
Yeah. He was just kind of out there in this conversation, almost just like dreaming without restrictions, without reference to some of the earthly, you know, common daily concerns that we have. He's like, I'm going to make ceramics, you know? It's kind of this funny conversation. He's like, yeah, I'm an earth poet. He's like, it's like a life calling. He literally says it. He's like, it's like a life calling, like a Zen thing, right? And I'm not necessarily bringing Zen into church, but it has to do with, like, you know, Eastern religions, if you didn't know. So. That'll make some of my students nervous at Lancaster County Christian School, but not here. I know you guys are really brawny. So and so he's really like you just sense kind of the excitement and the passion, and then they get picked up, right? Hitchhiking, get picked up by this couple in this Land Rover. What values confront them as they get into that car? You're not going to buy a Land Rover.
With ceramics.
With ceramics.
I didn't get that from the clip. I got that he was thinking of changing his mind, like to design these things.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
He saw the beauty in how the Land Rover was made.
Okay.
But I think they're trying to sell Land Rovers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely an aspect of wealth and comfort, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, you know, probably bad-smelling kids out
yes.
on the road trying to get a ride, and they finally do with this couple, and you notice the music.
Yeah.
It's just, like, awe-inspiring, and just everything of, you know, class and comfort and glamour, and they're like, look at what we can have, but we can't get it with ceramics.
Right.
You know? Like, it was this, like, what do you... It spoke a lot of wealth.
Yeah.
Like, ceramics isn't gonna, you know, it might give you purpose or make you happy, but you're not gonna get the Land Rover with ceramics. So, what it's really, it changed his priorities very
it
quickly.
Did.
Like,
the
wealth and comfort aspect changed it drastically. But yeah, because he saw, like, the ends.
Yeah,
just another point of view. I think those two, this is it's an opinion. It seems to me that those two guys could have been, the one guy could have been singing the praises of being the leading brain surgeon ever to meet the world. And I'm going to go to school and I'm going to be the best brain surgeon ever, which means he could afford to buy a lot of Land Rovers. But to me, it was the fact that the overwhelming beauty and attractiveness of that vehicle overrode the intensity of his commitment
yes.
to his career,
yeah.
whether it was ceramics or brain surgery or whatever. And if they were really trying to sell the car, they were saying, this is better than anything else you want
yes.
in life.
Yes, exactly. And basically, as I interpreted it, I think as the marketing people would have meant for this to be taken, is how my dad put it there and how several of you have. In that he takes this... what he believes to be purposeful in his life and puts it on the shelf and says that will be second to something that will make this possible. And really, I think we have a lot of people who feel like they don't have meaning, purpose, and significance because they've done that at different times in their lives. Like, this is who God created me to be, but because of this pressure from my family or because of this expectation or because of this failure in my life, I can never pursue this, so I'll just do this instead. And we really shift out that whole roadmap that we looked at earlier. We go back to what's going to bring us comfort and promotion and, you know, stability. But Jesus Christ's call to his disciples was not, come get in my Land Rover and have a comfortable life. It was, take up your cross every single day and follow me. And I was not at Mark and Kristen's breakfast event here, but I was at the school out in Loyola. And it was really I was really struck again by Christ's words to Peter and in one of their last conversations, when Peter says, well, what about John? What about this guy over here? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. I'm talking to you, and I'm telling you, follow me. don't compare. Don't feel pressured based on what's going on here. You just follow me. Right? Take a moment and reflect on your own. Finish this sentence in your mind. You can write it down if you need to. Take a moment and finish this sentence. For some of you, you might be like, this is going to be a long sentence.
I got 2 words.
I'm looking at that in two contexts. One, I would be successful if you're talking about how people judge.
Okay.
You come up with all kinds of scenarios. I would be successful if you feel content because you're giving your life to God and whatever comes out of you. That's where I'm at.
So Roger has taken us right to the heart of the question, which is the definition of success. Because the way you answer this is going to be completely determined by your definition of success. And if your definition of success, and I'm not saying that wealth is bad, that's not what I'm here to do, okay? Because I could use a little more of it, right? But if your definition is Land Rovers and comfort, you're going to have a certain response. But if your definition is fulfillment, purpose, following God, if your perspective is, and I'll just leave that one there. If your perspective is immediate, like for right now, like maybe your definition of success today is like, if I make it through today, I will be successful. But maybe your perspective has a longer view of time, right? Maybe you have an eternal perspective, right? I've often heard my parents say that one of their greatest joys is that their children are walking with God. Doesn't mean we walk with Him perfectly, but that their children are walking with God. And, you know, we know that that has to do with my parents, but it also has a lot more to do with God and His grace and His work. So we got right down to the heart of this, which is the definition of success. Any other comments or reflections on this?
I was going to say, if I end well. And then after Roger spoke, I realized if I end the way God wants me to, I had to modify that.
Sure. We would all have, now that we've been to this, even this first introduction, throwing this question out to you guys, you maybe had a sense of like, well, maybe I would say this, but I think Timothy wants me to say this. which is okay, I understand that. I don't want you to do that all the time, but you can imagine if we throw this question out to just, if you went to work, or you know, if you went to some gathering with friends or something, and you just threw this out there, you'd get a great variety of responses, right? But this says a lot about our, as Abigail was talking about earlier, our priorities, right? And those things. Okay. So where do we go from here? Starting next week, we are going to get into kind of the practical, some of the more practical steps of life calling. Dr. Millard has a model, okay? It's like a diagram that helps us get a hold of and really understand how we hear the voice of God effectively, okay? And that's what we're going to start with next week. We're going to start introducing that model and the different components. This was just a broad kind of like, you know, dip your toe in the water, start thinking about these things. That's what our session was here today. All right? So let me pray and we'll be done. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you that you have called each one. Thank you for the words of David in the book of Psalms and the things that we know to be true, that you have a purpose, that you have a plan, that you have significance for each one of us. I pray that we would be eager and excited, that you would fill us with joy, and yet that we would have reverence for you as we seek to understand our life calling. Bless us as we go from this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.